Would you pray with me as we prepare to dive into God's word this morning? There's been some things that have been brought to my attention this morning as I was meeting with the elders to pray, as we were meeting with the different ministry teams here this morning beforehand. There's a lot of things that are going on in our church, heavy things that are happening. And I'm convinced, because of where our church body is at with this Sermon on the Mount series that we have been journeying through, heart change is happening. We have people who have their hearts aligning with God, and as a result, the enemy is rising up to oppose the building up of the body and the advancing of the kingdom of God. And here, we springboard today into Missions Emphasis Month. So I would ask that we pray today a hedge of protection over our people. Dear Jesus, we do long for our hearts to be aligned with you. I pray that we would not leave this place today the same as when we entered it. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would work powerfully in our hearts and minds, and that we would be protected against the dealings, against the oppression, against the movement of the enemy. And I pray, Lord, that as we experience discomfort, we would recognize it as an opportunity for growth, and we would recognize it as the doorway to the deeper life, where we have the opportunity, Father, to continue rejoicing and praising your name despite everything that's going on around the world that's just terrible. Be with us today, Lord. Mold our hearts. Shape us to be more like your son, Jesus. We pray this in your son's name through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Amen. So we are going to hit on a few things today, and we're going to go fast through this first part. In this first part, we're going to look at a snapshot of who we are as an Alliance family. Then we're going to watch a video. It's a bit of a longer video, about 15 minutes long. And then we are going to bring things into our focus of today following that video. And our focus of today is the Holy Spirit as the source. The Holy Spirit is the source. Today marks the beginning of Missions Emphasis Month. And why do we do Missions Emphasis Month? Because if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you have been commanded to be a missionary of the good news of his death, resurrection, and offer of salvation, sanctification, regeneration, glorification, and all of the other different actions that come apart as a part of being in this thing, this faith we call Christianity. And we here in the Christian and Missionary Alliance are passionate about missions. Since the beginning of the Alliance over 100 years ago, we have been a deeper life and missions movement. Emphasis on the deeper life, because experiencing the deeper life is a lifelong journey for every single disciple of Jesus Christ. When each one makes one, the kingdom of God grows and access to the deeper life becomes greater. And we bring the gospel to everyone we meet, everywhere we go, because as followers of Jesus Christ, we have been commanded to do so. And we serve a God that expects us to obey him in his great commission. What is this great commission? We see it in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says this: Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and to be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And we can sum up this great commission in seven words: all of Jesus for all the world. That is our task, and it is not a suggestion, it is a command. And if we don't obey the commands of God, we are guilty of sin, so we ought to obey the commands of God. And here in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, at Alliance Church here in particular, we seek to equip leaders and local churches, you people here today, for maximum Acts 1:8 impact, because our identity is rooted in Jesus Christ, and as his church, we are part of a greater Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family, and we are dependent upon the filling of the Holy Spirit to fulfill his calling of this great commission. Here in the U.S. Alliance, we are a part of a network of more than 2,000 churches consisting of nearly a 500,000 believers, speaking more than 38 different languages and dialects, and 41% of our churches are non-Anglo. We are serious about the great commission because each year our U.S. Alliance family gives more than $60 million to the Global Great Commission Fund, because we recognize that missions are a command from God. Our global Alliance family throughout the world 6 million believers strong and 23,000 churches who serve more than 70 people groups in 142 cities across six of the most unreached regions in the world. And our prayers and our giving support 700 international workers across four specialized mission structures that place 80% of these international workers in the areas in the world where it is the most difficult and dangerous to serve. Why? Because of the 7.1 billion people on this planet, more than 4,000 people groups have little or no opportunity to know Jesus. Church, that is 3.4 billion unreached people. And we have the command of Jesus Christ and his great commission to reach the lost right here in Little Falls, even unto the very ends of the earth. Church, time is short. Lost people are going to hell. Jesus is coming back. And in the years we live on this earth, our lives are meant first and foremost to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our families, our friends, our coworkers, our teammates, our community members, and yes, even our enemies. And Jesus promises that we will have power through his Holy Spirit to be witnesses, because without the witness of Christ Church, a whole lot of people who do not know Jesus are going to experience the reality of hell. So we better get our priorities straight and our hearts aligned with God in his heart for the lost, because how we choose to live our lives here on this earth, that matters. And it matters to people like our Hmong brothers and sisters in Christ. Watch this video with me now.
Spirits, spiritual warfare, it's real. In the Hmong culture, spirits would actually kill a person attempting to defame or move an altar to the demons the family worshipped. It was only Christians who could enter a home and remove an altar. You know, I love this video because it shows how a people group can come full circle. This video was a 50-year anniversary video made in 2003, and at that time, the Hmong Church had grown in membership from 1,500 to 29,000. They began as a mission field 50 years prior to 2003, and they became a missionary sending organization, and today there are 110 Hmong churches in the U.S., accounting for 20% of total Alliance churches, and their membership stands at 40,000. Believers, and their mission is to advance Christ worldwide as part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. You've heard that verse a number of times this morning. Here it is for you, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's a part of Acts 1:8 I want to home in on with you today. I can't count the number of times I've heard a message about missions as it relates to the second half of this verse. The geographical areas, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, our Jerusalem right here in Little Falls. But if we merely focus on that part of the verse, we miss what I think is the most important part of Jesus' words. Because without the first part of the verse, the second part doesn't work. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We need to talk about the Holy Spirit. Why? Because time is short. Lost people are going to hell. Jesus is coming back. And each of us has been commanded, not suggested, commanded to be a witness and to proclaim the good news about Jesus to our sphere of influence. And we have been filled with power to make this happen. So I want to start to answer some of these questions with you this morning. Who is the Holy Spirit? And what does he mean for us as a part of this Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family that is the church? One of the defining characteristics of the Holy Spirit is that he is personal. He is our parakletos, meaning he comes alongside us and speaks. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his disciples that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. But Jesus actually promises the Holy Spirit earlier in John chapter 14. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you." He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Jesus tells his disciples that the Spirit who is coming, who is going to be another advocate, another person like himself, sent from the Father, just as he himself was, just as Jesus himself was, a divine person bearing the fullness of the Godhead into the midst of our lives.
And we need to understand that because he is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. It is always wrong to talk about the Holy Spirit using abstract or impersonal language. If we refer to the Holy Spirit as an it or some type of a force, that's offensive to God. In Ephesians 4, we're told that the Spirit actually experiences sorrow, emotions. He weeps when we sin. In Acts chapter 5, we're told that the Spirit can even be lied to, just like other people we know. The Holy Spirit is personal, and as such, we refer to him in a personal sense. And this is just an aside here, but we call the Holy Spirit he, not because he is gendered or male, okay, but because he, that personal pronoun, is personal. And until recently, the word he was universally understood as the best non-gender-specific personal pronoun in the English language. The Holy Spirit is above being male or female. Both genders were created in his image. That's just an aside there. That's why we use the word he. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is personal. He is personal. He is also fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God, just like the Son and just like the Father. He is a divine person. He is a member of the Trinity. The Trinity being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, yet one substance. In the Nicene Creed, we confess him as the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. In theology, we refer to the Trinitarian unity of the persons of God as a perichoretic unity. Big word there. Perichoresis is the term for the kind of unity that is distinguishable from one another, yet it is perfect in unity, love, and all aspects of equality. This means that we can never consider the Father, the Son, and the Spirit alone, because together in their love, they are one God. Each one is present in the life of the other in a maximally real way, so that each one actually contributes to the being of the others. The relationship of the three is the substance of the one. It's love. And neither Jesus nor the Holy Spirit are a creation of the Father. Each is a full divine person equal to the Father. God the Holy Spirit's life is grounded in the life of God the Father and the life of God the Son. In fact, we first meet him in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. In the same way that the Holy Spirit is fully personal, he is also fully divine, just like God the Father and just like God the Son. And as such, he is worthy of our prayers. He is worthy of our adoration. And he is worthy of all of the same worship we offer to the Father and the Son. It is into his name we are baptized, and to him we belong. Take a look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, just as Jesus promised in John 14, and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself." You do not belong to yourself. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's personal. He's fully God. And he also brings the presence of God into our lives. And how does he do that? Let's take a look at some scriptures. This is just a snapshot of the Spirit. We can go so much deeper. The Holy Spirit is promised by Christ in John chapter 14. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, Ephesians 1. The Holy Spirit sets his seal upon us and softens our hearts, 2 Corinthians 1. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. Oh, we need that, don't we? I need that. John 16. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture, John 14. He illuminates the Scriptures so that we may actually understand them, John 16. The Holy Spirit teaches us as we abide in him, 1 John 2. He enables us to change and live differently, Romans 8. And the Holy Spirit, this presence of God in our lives, can actually be quenched. Told that in 1 Thessalonians 5. We can quench the power of God, the presence of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit saves us, 2 Thessalonians 2. The Holy Spirit washes us clean, Titus 3. The Holy Spirit makes us a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5. And the Holy Spirit fills and accompanies us. Where we're at this morning, Acts 1:8. Being filled with the Spirit, being sanctified, means that even the Spirit can change any part of me. All of the broken bits of who I am, he can change it. He can repair it. And we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Because we have experienced his hope, his love, his mercy, because we've experienced all of these things firsthand, we are compelled to make him, to make Christ known to all people in every segment of society. The mandate, the command to witness, stands as a theme for the entire book of Acts. It comes as a direct commission from Jesus himself, his very last words before he ascends into heaven. And just so that there is not any doubt in the minds of Christ followers, he literally commands us in Acts 1:8, and then he's taken up into the clouds. It's like a mic drop. These are his parting words to his church. And this commission that he gives us, it lays an obligation on all Christians. Acts 1:8 concerns a person, a power, and a program. It is the person of Jesus Christ, on whose authority the church acts and is the object of its witness. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit for the mission. And it is the program of evangelizing the whole world, starting right here at home. The Greek word used here is martus. It means to witness. It's used 39 times in the book of Acts. Do you know what witnesses do? They testify verbally. They verbally testify, meaning they speak. They speak of what the gospel has done in their lives, who they have received, Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And today, God is calling each of us to do an audit of our life by taking a scrutinizing look in the mirror. How is my witness? Am I verbally testifying to my sphere of influence about the amazing work of Jesus Christ in my life through the power of the Holy Spirit? Am I living in obedience to God and his command to reach the lost? How am I using my life to advance the kingdom of God? Do I have a deep, meaningful relationship with God the Holy Spirit, he who indwells me? Do I know him personally? Or do I focus on God the Father? Do I focus on God the Son? And the Holy Spirit is just kind of off to the side. Yeah, he's in there, but do I have a daily practice of persistent prayer and time spent in the Word? Do I model a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 lifestyle to my family to help inspire them to accountability in their spiritual disciplines and walk? I have some statistics I want to show you. These are from CRU. If you're not familiar with CRU, it's Campus Crusade for Christ. You might know them by that name. Statistics show that 80% of people are willing to have a conversation about Jesus Christ. They're willing to have a conversation about their faith in Jesus. But only 40% of Christians will ever have a conversation about Jesus with a non-believer. And only 5% of Christians will ever lead another person to Christ in their lifetime. Each of us is called to be a witness for Christ at all times, wherever we are at, with our actions and with our words. The Holy Spirit changes our hearts to align with God's. His is the source of power needed to live and to love with the heart of God. And he gives us power to build up the body of Christ, his church. He gives us power to advance the kingdom of God into the darkest areas of our unreached world. You might know this form of power in the form of spiritual gifts. Oftentimes we see the Holy Spirit at work tangibly in the world through spiritual gifting, things like prophecy or evangelism or healing. But, and I've shared this before, we need to recognize that the goal is never the gift. It is God himself. We never have a certain gift. What we have is the Holy Spirit in us and working through us in miraculous ways to help build up the body or advance the kingdom. The goal, indeed the mark, is a growing closeness with the Spirit, not the supernatural power that comes when he is present. The Holy Spirit is God, and we know that God is love, and God created us out of love, and the Holy Spirit loves humanity, and he gives us the power that is himself so that we can first and foremost walk into the deeper life in our own lives, so that out of that deeper life, our hearts can mirror God's and our passionate carrying out of the mission to be both unified as Christ's church and to build each other up and to be witnesses who testify about the power of God by the power of his Holy Spirit to a world that is in desperate trouble and in need of a savior. You, us, the church, we are God's plan to fulfill that missional witness. There are 3.4 billion people in this world that will have little or no chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in their lifetime. And in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is speaking about this final judgment. And towards the end of that chapter, he tells us that he's going to separate those who believe in him from those who do not believe. And on his right hand, he's going to place the sheep, those who have admitted their sin, placed their faith in him, and chosen to allow him to reign as Lord of their life. And he says this to them. He says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world.'" And on his left hand, he's going to place the goats. On his right hand are the sheep, those who have given their lives to Christ. And on his left, he's going to place the goats, those who have no relationship with Jesus. To them, he says this. He says, "Then the king will turn to those at the left, and he will say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his demons. I have friends and family, I know you do too, who don't have a relationship with Jesus. And if he came back today, I don't know what side they would be on, the right or the left." That is a hard verse, church. That is a hard verse. The Bible tells us that Christ's return is imminent, meaning it could happen at any time. Anytime. And this should impart a sense of urgency upon we who hold in our hearts the keys to eternal life, the indwelling presence of God himself. We have a command from our God to engage the world with the words of our testimony. Do you understand that? Church, time is short. Lost people are going to hell. That's the reality that we see in the Bible. And if we believe this book as the inerrant source of truth, that is a hard thing. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. And each of us has been commanded to obey the Great Commission. And if you have given your life to Christ, you have been given the power in the person of God himself indwelling you to complete that mission. All of Jesus for all the world. I'd like to invite the worship team up. Would you pray with me? Lord, God, we need you. We get so distracted, God. There's so much stuff in our lives that we put in front of you, Lord. And there's a world that is in desperate need of you as its Savior, God. Please align our hearts with yours, Lord. Change us so that our heart can beat in sync with yours and we can obey your commands. Please be with us as we worship. Amen.